Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and my guest today is Matt Wagner, and he has many passions that we are going to talk about. And I actually met you, I would say, actually on a park bench about 2 or 3 years ago when you came up while I was out with recess with my students, mm-hmm. and you said, hey, I am one of your students' brothers. How's it going? And then actually ever since, we've talked at we used to be Island City, mm-hmm. and now it's Two Fathoms. Yep. And speaking of which, we have Two Fathoms beer here tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pop this bad boy, and we're going to get our drinks going here. The one I chose today, because it seems like you're a IPA, hazy IPA kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this one is the number 7 if you ever go there. And on here they put Rainbow Stew, so I don't know if that's right.
Wow. We have a secret special. Did they know this was for you?
Well, I mean, I went in there, and the girl knows me, and it's number 7, but I think it's called, like, St. Luplin's Little Brother?
Monster, yeah.
Little Monster. Yeah, yep. And this is my favorite one now that they have at the new place, Two Fathoms, here in town.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pour one myself, and then you can pour your own however much you want. Take full glass. You can have multiple glasses. You're going to have multiple glasses. I can almost guarantee you that.
So I'm glad they're not crawlers, too, because can you pour a crawler clean? Like, without spilling. Not a growler. The can.
Oh, no way.
Nah. Okay, I figured out there's, like, a twist. I think I've actually watched, like, YouTube videos on
how to pour. Sure, I'm going to move the mic, and you can sit forward.
How to pour a proper crawler.
So this one, it says on here, is called an American IPA. And it's coming in at about 6.7%. Okay. And to me, it looks a little hazy, but a little crisp as well. So, yeah, anytime you need to, just dig in.
Okay, Rainbow Stew.
All right, Two Fathoms, you're on the podcast for the first time.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thank you.
I've had this, so I already know what it tastes like.
This is a good move.
Ooh, that is a good. It's a little hazy, a little crisp, and that's what I like in my IPAs.
They just had this on at Nosh, too. Nosh has this on tap.
Oh, really?
Which I was shocked or happy to see because it's a great beer.
I love this one, too. There was another one that just recently came out. Don't remember what it's called specifically because I've only had it maybe as just a taster. And then there's another one. It's like, I feel like it's got like a fish name to it. But I can't, like Wallop.
No, it's Pub Wallop.
Pub Wallop. I like that one.
Yeah.
I was thinking
Special
Wallop.
Bitter. Yep.
Yes.
ESB.
So I like that one, but this has been my staple. So anytime I go to Beer Bingo or Taproom Trivia, this is my go-to here. Are you part of the club?
I am part of the club.
Of course.
Yep, and I love they got the glass now. You don't have to bring it. Super nice.
So, pros and cons for me on that one. I forget the opener a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they just...
They know
they
us.
Know. Yeah,
they
I
know
just
us.
Say, in a mug. I don't want to sound like a pompous mug, but that mug, please. And they just don't question it. So.
Have you been in every single mug club so far?
That's a good question.
Because I have.
I think I have.
And the first one was it was that...
It's like a ceramic. A Renaissance festival
mug. It was one before that.
Okay.
It had a gold rim to it, and it was just like a mug.
Yep.
So that was the first one, and I was part of that one. And then it went to the clay mug that looked Renaissance-ish.
Yes. Which is cool, and people chipped them all the time. But they're really cool. Were you one of those people?
I did not chip mine.
Oh, good.
Didn't
okay.
break it even.
Oh, good. Yeah, me neither.
I preferred... the Yeti one, because I could just throw it in my vehicle.
Yeah.
It's not going to break on me at all.
Yep.
But this is nice that they just, you have this, but I forget mine a lot.
Yep.
However, they know me. So I go, hey, I'm part of the mug club. They go, we know.
Yep.
So I go, that's cool. I don't even have to bring it anymore now that they know me well. And I'm sure they know you because I see you quite a bit there as well.
Yep, absolutely.
So this is funny, though. You actually text me and you go, I got 3 topics that I want to talk about. And I'm like, oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because I usually, when I have my title, I have 3 main topics that I've talked about. And usually it's just whatever we're talking about. But you actually have 3 that you would like to talk about. And you've actually brought visual aids.
I have. Sorry for all of you listening, but you can check the YouTube video.
Exactly.
If you want to see it.
So the funny thing is, you actually came here on bike.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing you want to talk about is mountain biking.
It was, yeah.
So which topic do you want to start off with?
We can start out with mountain biking.
I think so, because you came here by bike.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. I didn't come on a mountain bike. I came on my child cargo bike, which I'm very excited about. It's made by Radio Flyer.
The Wagon?
The Wagon Company.
Dude, I think we have one right up
there. There it is. Yeah. The radio flyer. So they're still around. I thought, this is kind of new technology, e-bike stuff. They'll still be around in 20 years if I need a new battery for it or anything.
Okay, so how does the e-bike work now? Because you have pedals, you have electric.
Yeah.
Does it go so far on the electric and then it takes over, or do you have to do both at the same time?
You can choose. So there can be like an e-assist. Okay. So as you're pedaling, you can pick like an assist level and your bike can kind of kick in and just kind of naturally push you. But there's also a throttle. So okay. on the left side, there's just a thumb throttle. So it goes up to 20 miles an hour, which is a class 2 bike.
Whoa.
I researched this for way too long. You get like analysis paralysis, and like I made an Excel document of like different bikes and their prices. There's a lot out there, actually. So
did you get a degree in that?
No, not at all. I wish. That would be cool. Yeah.
It's like you have a spreadsheet and you're very analytical, statistical.
Yeah.
Like, did you have a degree in stats?
Yeah, no, I did not, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I did way too much research. But it's a big purchase. It's kind of almost like a mini car or something. So
what? So how many different classes are there then?
3 classes.
Okay, so one consist of?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't know one, so I'm not even
you
gonna
just
try.
Surpassed it.
Yeah, I just passed it.
Yeah.
Class 2 is like, goes up to 20 miles an hour via assist or battery.
Okay.
You can do just battery 20. Class 3 goes up to 28 miles an hour with pedaling and the battery combined. So, I mean, that's almost like a car. I mean, like a moped. So they've come a long way.
Now, how come you decided to get one? Are you big into just biking as many places you can possibly go?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Winona is such a bike friendly town, even though we have a lot of potholes. I mean, yeah, but there's
not as many as Iowa.
There you go. But for being in the Blessing, we're so flat and it's just such a nice grid system and it's easy to get around. There's good back roads that, you can avoid cars, stuff like that.
Sure.
So, yeah, and my cargo bike hauls my 2 children in the
back.
Really? Yeah, so it's got a little seat for them. I got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. So I just zip them around, bring them to daycare. And
no kidding.
Yeah, after we got it, we didn't start our second car for like a month this summer.
Wow.
It's like a replacement. It's great.
And you're in a garage literally full of cars.
Surrounded by cars, but... Cool cars. They're awesome.
Well, I got to tell you, a lot of these don't get driven either. So.
Oh, yeah? Well.
Yeah, they stay put quite a bit, so not much ever. I mean, there's probably tanks of gas in some of these from years ago.
Oh, yeah. Get that stable in there. And keep.
That's right. So, okay. Now, what is something, and for those who are watching us, it looks like we're looking beyond the camera, because we are. He brought his bike in here.
I didn't mean to make this a feature of it, but
I love it though, because a lot of people have these.
They do.
It's not like it's a thing that is, whoa, you have an electric bike. I see these all over the place nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
What does something like yours cost? Is it quite expensive? Because you said it's a large purchase.
It is a large purchase. Yeah, this was a little over $2,000.
Okay.
Yep. And it comes in a few different models, but the range of them for cargo bikes specifically, anywhere from like $1,500 to the Trek version is like 5K.
Okay.
So it's, like cars, there's a wide range of, prices. So.
Sure. And have you had a motorcycle in your life?
Funny you say that. I have my motorcycle endorsement.
Yep.
But I have never owned a motorcycle because I bought a Yamaha Zuma from an old lady, and that's a moped.
Okay.
And this Yamaha Zuma went over 40 miles an hour or something. It went like 45.
Sure.
So when I bought it, this woman must have really been like a rule follower, and she it ticked enough boxes that the state of Minnesota viewed it as a motorcycle. So the plate said it was a motorcycle. So I couldn't drive it unless I had my motorcycle endorsement. So I go up to, like, are you kidding me? So I do this whole process. This is like 10 years ago. I show up to the the motorcycle test, and it's me and all these Harleys, and I'm on a moped, a Yamaha Zuma.
That's awesome.
It was so great because like half the people there were like, half were kind of giving me the stink eye, and then the other half were like, hey, you're like, cool ride, dude. And this one guy came up to me, he's like, man, anything on 2 wheels, man, you're cool by me. You're cool by me.
Okay. What color is it?
It's like black. I mean, it looked cool. I mean, it actually, for a moped, it almost looked like a really like a kid's motorcycle. It was just
I picture it mint blue coming up.
No, it wasn't one of those like yellow ones or okay. Like it wasn't a Vespa.
Oh my gosh,
like
I'm crying.
It wasn't a like a little Italian, you know, like Lizzie McGuire moped.
Oh, the Lizzie McGuire.
But no, it was the real. It looked cool-ish.
Oh my
gosh.
So
needless to say. On my license to this day, I have a motorcycle endorsement. I've never owned one, so that's the whole trajectory. You asked if I owned a motorcycle.
Yes,
no,
kind of.
Yeah, kind of in some way. I'm part of the crew, so like sometimes when I pass them, I do the wave thing, and I don't think they like that.
No, they probably don't. Dude, I am dying. I am crying laughing because I can picture you because I've done the test myself.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
Well, it's very tough.
Oh yeah.
But on yours, it's probably simple. But I can only imagine. There's these guys, beards, you know, ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, they're ready and all
like
of a sudden.
ZZ Top. And they're like,
beep, beep. Yeah. Here I am.
Yep.
And no, that test is not easy on a big bike.
No, it's not.
Took it on a crotch rocket because that's what I first started off on.
Oh, yeah.
But a moped's probably
even
easier.
There's like a 90 degree turn.
Yes.
Very hard.
Those are rough.
Yeah.
I failed the first time.
Oh, yeah. I barely passed with the moped. So
yeah.
And the lady, she was like kind of, she had her little clipboard and she kind of looked me up and down. She's like, oh, one of these, huh? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to be here. I wish I didn't have to be here.
You're making me.
Yeah, you're making me be here.
So then it must have had more than 50 cc's.
No, it was 50 cc.
What?
It was something with the speed. And it's like, I don't know how. I wasn't even going to try to argue with the state to like reverse it. I don't know. I feel
well,
like once, maybe I should have.
Well, now you can always go get a motorcycle if necessary.
Yeah, now I can.
I mean,
yeah, I like the Honda motorcycles are kind of cool. No offense to your crotch rocket, but those.
Well, I don't have one anymore.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Now I'm Harley, so I'd be the guy looking at
you.
Yeah. But I don't laugh.
Okay.
I don't laugh because I like all bikers. So yeah, now I've slowly graduated from crotch rockets. I've had like probably three or four of them, all the way to the more saddlebag laid back, all the way to now a big fairing with speakers and the whole nine yards. And I'm going out to Sturgis next year. So
nice.
I am looking forward to that for sure. But I got a bike that. You know, you go on a long ride and it's not the wind just blowing in your face at 70 miles an hour. So it's nice. But I do have my motorcycle endorsement as well.
Nice.
So, okay. So now we got a little bit off topic, but it's a great story because that is hilarious. Now, you're big into mountain biking, so I assume you have just a strict mountain bike that you do rides with?
Yes. Yep, I do. So we'll talk about, obviously, pinball is one of the things. But before pinball, that was kind of my other hobby that I like to do. So I bought a 2012 Felt bike, and mountain biking is one of those where if you're trying to get into it, probably like anything, there's a lot to know, and you could spend $1 million and still not have it. So I mean, the range is like so I bought this bike, this was probably now 5 years ago, for $250. Great deal. And to get a new suspension fork, just a new fork, because there's a spring suspension fork or there's an air suspension fork. And most people want an air fork. It's just a lot better bounce on the front.
Sure.
So just the fork alone was $250, and that was kind of an essential thing. So it's one of those where it's hard to get into it. There's kind of a baseline price. Facebook Marketplace, if anyone's interested in mountain bikes. But there's two types of bikes. There's what's called a hardtail, which has suspension fork on the front. And then there's a full suspension, which that has the suspension on the seat below you and on the front.
Okay.
So usually, I mean, this isn't probably 100% accurate, but out west where people ride on like rocks in Colorado and Utah, you want a full suspension because it's really bumpy. Usually out here, just a hardtail is plenty good to get you kind of in a ticket to entry type thing.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I like wanted to talk about it just because when I started, none of the trails in Winona had been built yet. So if you wanted to do any type of riding, you had to pretty much go to La Crosse or Red Wing had some good trails. Winona had the old Holzinger trails.
Okay.
Like
yep.
I don't even remember what they're called, like low rollers. They're really wide. A lot of rocks. People like to run on there, great hiking and walking, but you'd risk, running over somebody or something like that. But the new trails, have you checked them out? Have you seen the
I have no idea about the mountain biking community here.
Okay.
And that's why you're here.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, I'm a terrible, the actual people in the Winona mountain bike area, I'm like an admirer from the outside. I'm not necessarily in the group. They do awesome stuff. They do trail maintenance. They've worked with the new crews and professional people who have actually built the trails. They work with, there's a lot of great apps, MTB Project or Strava, if anybody uses those.
Do
you use Strava? Yeah, apps. They're a tracking. So, like, let's say you go on a hike, you can use Strava and you can map out your whole hike. So when you're done, you hit start when you start, and you hit finish when you're done, and it'll say how many miles you went, how far, and you can pick anything. You can pick downhill skiing, mountain biking, walking.
Okay, No, I do not know anything about. I'm the guy that's mountain biking 101. I would be a freshman in this class.
Okay.
So whatever you tell me, I have zero knowledge of, because the most mountain biking I've done is my parents bought me a mountain bike when I was little, because that's just kind of all the rage.
Yeah.
And I rode around the street.
Yeah, maybe a Huffy or something. They have Walmart
exactly,
bike. Yeah.
Huffy.
Yep. Yep.
Now I do have. I did have a specialized one, but mm-hmm. it was just for going to class back and forth at Northern Iowa. So it wasn't like I was actually going mountain bike riding. It was just the nice looking one that I thought was good.
Yeah.
And then I have sitting in my garage that I haven't used since pre-COVID. it's a GT Timberland, and it's one with thinner tires, but it's not, obviously it's not a competitive bike racing one, but it's not a mountain bike. It's just like, I call it a hybrid.
Okay.
It's great. It has, it flows smooth. It's more upright. I like the upright style, but it's just for if someone says, hey, you want to go on a bicycle ride?
Yeah, handlebars.
Straight handlebars, okay. Yep. They come up pretty high here on me, and that's what I prefer because I'm not going mountain bike riding. If someone said, hey, let's go riding a bicycle, it's going to be like just on a trail from like Rushford to Lanesboro or something like that.
Yeah. Well, funny you say old mountain bikes. I'm going to go on a side tangent for another story.
That's
mountain
good.
Biking. A few years ago, River Falls has some really nice mountain biking trails. And that's where Rush River, did you ever have their beer at all?
I've never had Rush River. Okay. Where is that located?
In River Falls, Wisconsin.
Okay, so no, I'm not.
So it's cool. These mountain bikes, it's called single track. So it's just because it's usually a one-way, one bike at a time, single lane.
Okay.
So there's some single track in River Falls that actually is connected to the brewery, so you can go mountain biking and it just zips off. You can stop at the brewery and get some beer and like continue on.
Nice.
So it's a cool spot. But my buddies and I went camping at Lake Wissota State Park by River Falls, and some of them were like you and just had zero idea what they were getting into. And one of my friends, Joel, he's very frugal. He's gonna laugh when he's hearing this. And so let's rent some bikes at the bike shop. He's like, no, my dad has a bike, a mountain bike that he used. And I'm like, okay, Joel, if it's your dad's bike, like what year was this thing made? Oh, 1989. I'm like, Joel, you cannot use this mountain bike. It is not gonna work. Like between now and 1989, a lot of things have changed in the mountain bike world. The tires are bigger. There's just everything is different. And he decided to save the $40 or whatever and use this bike from 1989. And he made it about half a mile. And he said he had a heat stroke. And then after that, he said, I think I've made a mistake. And he was just huffing, puffing, and tipping over. And because it's like, it's kind of windy.
Yep.
So what I like about mountain biking is it's kind of like a roller coaster a little bit. It can be, depending on the trail. And the new trails that we have in town, specifically, it's called Danger Noodle. So if you look on these apps, you can see the trail, and I mean, it's just like winding back and forth and back and forth. And it's so fun. I mean, it's like a twister roller coaster that you get to get a workout and just have fun. I mean, it's kind of dangerous. I wouldn't recommend, if you haven't done it, to start out with that one.
Sure, yep.
But some of the new trails that we have, especially up on Garvin area, I've done it with friends where you take two cars and you can start at the top and then you bike down and then just get in the car and go up. But the climb makes the downhill enjoyable.
So. Okay.
But yeah, the new trails in town are awesome. Super exciting.
Is there a group in town that does all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think it is like the Winona area mountain bike group.
Okay.
And the city's done an awesome job of supporting it and I think getting grants and just getting public land access.
Sure.
But yeah, they just released a new skills park too. So now, you know, Holzinger Trail,
yep.
The parking lot there. So if you just start walking towards like Hy-Vee, that direction from the parking lot, they have a new skills park there. And that's just this small, really tight area where it's got kind of, it's called a berm. So a berm is like a curved turn. So if you hit it with enough speed, you can almost ride like the wall.
Yep.
Like think of that. You know, the steamboat days where that thing spins around and you stick to the wall. It's like that. So you can like use your momentum.
Okay.
Which is super fun. But the skills park has enough. It's small enough that like my 4-year-old could take a Strider bike and just kind of ride on the dirt. And there's little ramps and like really easy stuff, but you could make it difficult. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So that just opened last week. So we checked it out.
Oh, just last week.
Last week.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
This is like brand, you know, cutting edge stuff. So
I had no idea about that.
Yeah. It's super exciting.
Well, you know, we have such a cool area here in Winona with the bluffs that there is not specifically mountains, but mm-hmm. we have the trails that can support mountain biking.
Yes.
And I've seen those videos of some of those ones that people are going down very narrow. I'm like, man, one false move, you're hitting a tree and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what your buddy Joel, what's Joel's last name? Can you call him out?
Yeah, Hansen.
Hansen. I know Joel Hansen. Yes, he used to live up in Valley Oaks.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. And I know that area because my buddy now lives in my old house.
Oh, okay.
And where I used to live on 56 Forest Oaks Court, I could look out my backyard and I could see his house.
Oh, nice.
Because he lived next to my other friend, Joe Carone.
Oh, yeah.
So
I know Joe.
They were, yeah.
He's my chiropractor.
Okay.
He's good. He's good.
Yes.
Yep.
He's a chiropractor in town here. So I believe they were neighbors, if I remember mm-hmm. right, younger. And you
they
could
are.
See their houses out my backyard. And now my buddy Josh Harrison lives there.
Oh, nice.
And so he's been on the podcast a couple times. And so it's funny that I kind of figured that's who you were talking about.
Yeah.
But I wasn't 100% sure because I know you guys are kind of similar in ages, mm-hmm. if not the same age.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we both graduated from Winona Senior High.
Yes,
2008.
And actually, funny thing is, I read that about you, and I'm like, wait a second, he's in my yearbooks. So now when I go home, I got to look in the yearbook.
Oh, there you go.
I'm 06.
Okay.
You got to be in there. And
I didn't
know that. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So anyways, big into mountain biking and e-biking.
Yep.
Now, going back to the e-bike, you don't have to have a license for those. Is that correct?
You do not.
Okay.
Yep. And there people have, I think I saw something in the post or... All over the nation, there's discussions about these things go really fast. Can they go around the lakes?
Sure.
As of now, they still can. And I think that, you know, responsibly, they're awesome. And I feel like people, you know, senior citizens, people, it's harder to get up hills.
It's like an assist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
here's my problem with when someone's like, hey, let's go on a bike ride. And I sit there and I say, I got a motorcycle. I can go really fast.
Yeah.
I have the problem of saying, yes, I would love to go on a bicycle trail and use a lot of muscle, a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And go on I'd rather go on a motorcycle ride. And that's just me.
Yeah.
But I know that the biking community is big around this area because we have so many trails around here. Mm-hmm. We have not only just our awesome lakes that are just here that – one of them's 3.5 miles, and the other one's about 1.8, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the mountain bike trails.
Yep.
Then if you just go over to Rushford, you can literally ride for miles upon miles mm-hmm. to other towns. But you went and said something about, there's this brewery in River Falls, and you stop in there, you have beer, and then you go and do some more mountain biking.
Yeah.
I know. Have you been to the brewery Karst in Fountain?
I've not. I've heard of it.
Okay.
I've heard people say that. I should check it out.
And that's over by, obviously, Lanesboro. A lot of bicyclists go up there, too.
Okay.
Not mountain biking, from what I can tell. I think they're more road bikers.
Yeah.
But it seems like brewery and biking have a lot in common for some reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really kind of a neat thing. I don't know. Does it have something to do? Is there a following breweries and biking?
I don't know. I mean, I think that the idea of working really hard, you know, sweating like crazy, and then having a beer afterwards, like that's kind of a popular,
sure, yep,
you know, idea. I know that with Roxanne was on here, she talked about the runner club. They,
yep,
all get together at Two Fathoms or wherever else. Yeah, I think you're on to something. So, and I'm excited. The other, this is all, now I'm talking in the future. They're trying to work on some bike trail between the levee to Bud King.
Okay.
Like a riverfront trail, because Winona is just perfect for that.
Absolutely.
And I know they're just trying to figure out some last minute easements, but that'll be really cool when that opens up, especially,
yes,
with Two Fathoms and all the hotel and everything down there. It's,
yeah,
a lot of good synergy going on.
A lot of big things are happening downtown. Now,
there
I
are.
Know there's people up in arms about it and whatever, and that's fine. If they wanted to do something, they should have bought it. But that's always what I say.
Yeah.
If you're going to complain about it, you should have bought it and done what you wanted with,
mm-hmm,
it. But you didn't. But yes, you're right, because I noticed under our bridge, you know, you go on River Drive there, and obviously if you bike on there, there's nothing. But if you go underneath the bridge and you start coming east, it,
mm-hmm,
looks like they now start having trails.
Mm-hmm.
So are they trying to connect that then all the way down to Bud King, which is like St. Charles Street area?
Yeah, I think that's the goal.
That's cool.
And I think they're working on some type of bridge or overpass or something with Winona Marina.
Oh,
so that's, yeah.
Oh, with Winona Marina. I'm,
yeah,
down there.
Are you
my
down
boat,
there?
My,
oh, well,
at,
yeah, yeah. Tell them we want the bridge over
we
there.
Want,
yeah.
That would be really cool.
It would,
because,
be cool.
Like you said, we have a beautiful river.
Absolutely.
And we just have such awesome scenery around here in the summertime.
Yep.
I can't say that for the winter. I'm not a winter guy.
Yeah.
In the winter, I'm like, well, there. I want to go on the river, except it's frozen.
Yeah.
I don't want, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I totally get that. So, yeah, mountain biking is big. It looks like we have a big running community in town,
yep,
here.
Yep.
With Roxanne that was on here.
Mm-hmm.
But then now you're into other things, and I didn't know this. You're an artist.
I am an artist, yes.
I didn't even know that until,
yeah,
I did some research on you when you said, hey, these are the three things I would really love to talk about.
Yeah.
So I researched, and I'm like, wait, you're an artist.
Yeah.
I thought you just wanted to talk about art in general. I'm like, that's
yeah,
cool. So funny thing is, the shirt that I'm wearing is an artist.
Okay.
Adam Turman, and he's a Minnesota artist.
Yes.
And
what
you
did
probably
he do?
Have heard of him.
Yeah, I have heard of him.
Yeah.
But what is his claim to fame?
Claim to fame. He,
yeah,
does a lot of Minnesota. Gosh, I don't really know what his claim to fame is, other than I see it every year at the state fair.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
He has very bold lines. He does Minnesota artwork or Minnesota themed artwork.
Yeah.
And they're very bold and very bold black lines on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if you have seen one of his, I'm sure you've seen his artwork before,
mm-hmm,
that would be Adam Turman. And yet now he has this huge booth in the grandstand that,
mm-hmm,
you can buy all the stuff from. Well, I bought this shirt just like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it just says Turman artwork. But this is not really his. I mean, it's got like a skull and all that. So,
oh,
that'd,
yeah,
be cool,
yep,
if I was,
okay,
on the motorcycle. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
And it was on clearance. But if you ever look up Adam Turman, he has a lot of Minnesota themes, very distinct black lines, and then,
mm-hmm,
very bold colors.
Yeah.
He's done them of the Twin Stadium. He's done them of areas of Minnesota, like things that people would know,
mm-hmm,
you know. So you look him up sometime, and you would probably be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen something.
Yeah,
and I didn't know
I've
that
heard
was.
The name, and it would definitely
He's done
click.
Things on, like, Prince before and,
okay,
stuff like that. So,
yep,
I want to talk about you, though. I just wore the shirt because I said, you know what? This is an artist,
yeah,
from Minnesota.
You. Thank you.
And I have an artist from Winona, Minnesota. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just to kind of tie it all together, I am an art teacher as well.
Okay.
So I teach at the Winona Area Learning Center, which I just did the math, and I've been there 7 years, which,
okay,
is crazy. But I graduated with an art ed degree from Winona State,
okay,
in 2013. Did a little stuff at UW Eau Claire, which is a great college too. Yeah, so I've been teaching now in like 9-10 years.
Okay.
Which you're a teacher as well.
I am.
Yeah, we're past the 5 year.
Yay.
Where everybody quits. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, so I love art. I loved being in the art classroom. When I was at the senior high, there were great teachers there, and that's kind of what it's funny, I was actually gonna be a social studies teacher. And I was at UW Eau Claire, and I was in this history class, and I was looking at all my history notes, and they were just covered in drawings, covered in drawings. I'm like, what am I doing? I gotta switch majors, be,
sure,
be art ed. So that's kind of the history ever since, and I'm glad I did, because it's been great.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I saw a quote that you had. I think it was in the Winona Post. They did an article somewhat on you. And I think it's on some of the stuff you actually brought along.
Yeah, yep.
One of your quotes, I think, said something of, you don't have to be a master of art or something similar to that. Yeah. You can just do it. It doesn't take a degree.
Yep.
As you said, you were doodling in notes. And yeah. I noticed a lot of kids doodle in notes.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if it's therapy or if they just enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or both.
Yep.
And there's kids, you can just tell they have a knack for it.
Yep.
I see kids. So first thing we do on day one of each school year, I do, I make them make their own name tags.
Okay.
And I say you have to have one quote on there that stands out to you. So they get to use their Chromebooks. They put a quote on there. You have to have one Bible verse. You got to have your name in bold so we can read it. And then you can do whatever you want to it. And there's the kids you can tell who are the artists. And then there's kids you can tell that couldn't care less.
Yeah, just make it stop.
This year, I would say half my class is probably going to enjoy art with their art teacher.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm not the art teacher. But funny thing is, I want to go off that now because last year, we didn't have an art teacher for about the first month. So I had to fill in as the art teacher.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Just for my class for 7th and 8th grade. So I'm like, what the heck am I going to do?
Yeah.
So here's what I did. I didn't do anything other than they colored, but we did art history with it.
Okay.
So we did a couple things. One of them that stands off top of my head was cubism.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is I would teach them, because the class is about an hour long, so I'm like, oh, geez, give them at least maybe 20, 30 minutes of education of art, you know, history, and then give them the other 30 minutes to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, and they're like, that was actually pretty fun. We enjoyed you actually teaching us about art history, and then obviously all they were doing is coloring.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is what I had to do for three different lessons, because I think it was once a week for an hour, and 1 week we didn't have it because we were out of town. Oh, the mic flag fell. Oh, you're good.
Is it on?
Yep, you're good.
Okay.
No problem. Just get that advertising out there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait a second. Let's learn a little bit about art history. So I did cubism. And who invented cubism, talked a little bit about their life and death, showed them some stuff, and then they colored. And then I hung them up. And it worked, but I wouldn't want to teach a whole year of it because I would be. I didn't go to school for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is what it is.
Well, I'm impressed. Cubism, that's, you know, nothing to scoff at. That's a challenging. And I'm going to chime in now a little art history.
Good.
So cubism, people don't really think about. So at the time, the concept of cubism was to give multiple perspectives at the same time.
Okay.
So, like, if you were going to do whatever, this growler, you do part of it, and then you stop, turn whatever 45 degrees around it, start drawing it again, and you take all those and mash them together. That's essentially what cubism was trying to do, was to show multiple perspectives in one image. And that's why it's kind of this, like, mashed together look. So, you know, you see the face, the nose is pointed one way, the eyes this way.
Yep.
So, and art history, I mean, I try, it's great you did an art history connection because it's really good to just kind of connect that stuff. And the biggest thing I always tell students is, because a lot of times you look at art, especially abstract art, art history, it looks kind of strange. And I talk about how, at the time, the biggest thing to rock art, the art world, was the invention of the camera. So picture this, your job is to paint portraits of the king, and that's all you do. That's how you get your livelihood. The camera gets invented. Click, take the picture, you're out of a job. Okay? Right? Yeah, so that's a game changer.
It is.
So what are you gonna do? Well, your only choice, essentially, so one of the most famous kind of expressionism pieces of artwork is The Scream by Edward Munch. Okay. Do you recognize that one with that?
Yep.
The person
exactly
doing that?
Yeah,
and you can like, I mean, it's a kind of disturbing picture. But that was so powerful because that started to display emotion instead of just the exact photographic picture.
Oh, sure.
So artists were like, we can't just replicate anymore. We have to expand. We have to make art of things you can't photograph. We have to how do you paint happiness or sadness? Or whatever. So okay. So now I'm going.
That's awesome.
So I always talk to students. It's like, hey, this thing that's like in your pocket with your phone that takes pictures, that that changed everything. So,
yeah. So what about art drew you to it or to the profession, I guess? Is there something that like stands out like, man, you know, this is just, I love it because blank, fill it in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's something about showing different. I guess I've always had a knack for drawing.
Okay.
I really liked drawing a lot. Really liked problem solving, you know, giving a prompt and trying to create some solution to it or some type of piece of art that displays that. So, yeah, and I guess I'll go into a little bit of my of my prints.
Yes.
So one of the things, so it was 2022, I got an emerging artist grant from CMAC, which is Southeast Minnesota Arts Council. And I had applied for it before, and I was rejected. It was too abstract. I was trying to do something weird. And if anyone's applying for that, they want really definitive stuff that just makes sense. So my prompt was, I want to make prints, so printmaking of animals. I want to do local animals. So at that time, 2020, my first child was born. And he got a book. It was like this animals book from the Winona Health. And it was super random. It was like elephant, pig, hamster, and just super random. And he loved this book. And I'm like, gosh, it'd be so cool if there's like an animals collection of animal pictures that are like local animals.
Okay.
That the kid, that kids could relate to or that they could see actually around them without having to go to a zoo. So I do have, this is like the prototype.
You have a book.
I have a book. Yeah. So this is the prototype.
Wait, we can buy this?
Not yet. Eventually. Not yet. Hopefully soon. Yeah, hopefully soon.
That's awesome.
So this is the collection. And people, you know, people are like, oh, he's talking about this again. But this is, so I did
12. I've never heard of it. So
okay.
You ain't talking about it again
show,
to me.
I feel the show came out in like 2022, the spring of 22. Or 21. I don't remember.
Post-COVID,
it came up.
There you go. That's
you.
How I distinguish my life at this point.
Exactly. Post-COVID. But it was at the Winona Arts Center. It was 12 different animals. And the goal was always to put them together in a book. And it's been kind of slow moving. But I kind of started with the fine arts show. And then I've kind of worked my way to the book. So, yeah, I have a prototype of my Animals of the Driftless is what it's called.
That's awesome.
So it has, this one is in alphabetical order. So the very first one is
What did the first page say there?
Okay, so it was dedicated to my wife, Allie.
Okay.
Beck. And Abbott. So those are my two boys.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, the first one is a brook trout.
All right. So you can show it the camera.
Yeah,
I'll be able to see it.
Yep.
Brook trout, okay.
Yeah, I won't go through all of them, but I'll do a few pages
here. Go through some of your favorite ones, I guess.
Yeah. Let's see. Cerulean warbler. So I consulted with a friend of mine who's kind of a nature guy and tried to kind of narrow down, like, what are 12 different animals that are really unique to the area. Some of them are all over the place. Some are really specific to it. So this one is a mussel.
Yes.
Ellipse.
Oh, I see those on the river all the time.
Yeah, this one's super small. But yeah, it got kind of tough. Like dragonflies, I had to narrow it down between like 27 different dragonflies.
So I got a question for you on that. Ellipse, is that the technical term then for it? And we call it mussels?
Well, so that one I think is a specific mussel.
Okay.
It is that's called specific, like the ellipse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep. I really like this one a lot, North American beaver.
Oh, that's got so many different lines in it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So kind of what drew me to printmaking too in the first place, and I actually have a block. This is the ellipse carving. So this is like a giant pink eraser type thing.
Okay.
So I gave a nerd night talk at No Name Bar like a year ago on printmaking. I brought all this stuff, so thanks for letting me talk about it again.
Not a problem.
But what you do, so this is like a soft material. Think of like a pink eraser.
Okay.
And you take a tool called a gouge, and it's called a gouge because you literally gouge out and carve out the surface.
Okay.
So this is a type of printmaking called relief printmaking, and what it does is the ink sits on the top. And then anything you carve out creates a negative space where the ink can't sit.
Cool.
So think of it like a really fancy stamp.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So you had to carve all these out.
Yes. Yep. These are all carved out. So a gouge has a variety of different tools or different tips. So some of them are really small, some are more of a U. So you can see like this line is a lot bigger here, and then there's ones that are smaller. So you can unscrew it and screw on a new a new blade. And
it's almost like woodworking.
Yeah, yeah. So people will do wood carving, but what's nicer with this material is there's not a grain. So I, when I did 12 of these for the grant, I was like, I don't want to carve in wood because my hand, it's going to kill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this was the, over the course of a year, I did these 12 different animal prints. So, yeah, and actually, so I have them. I like this one a lot, too. This is the Otto Skipper, which is a... It's a moth, but it kind of looks like a butterfly.
We know about the moths.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
sure do.
Yeah, and I'll give a little shout-out. So my prints, so what's left of them, of the series I did, so it's called an edition. So when you make a certain amount of copies of the print, you make an edition at the bottom, and that'll tell the viewer how many of these exist.
Okay.
You know, scarcity, stuff like that. So all of these I did at least 10, and some of them I've run multiple editions just because people have really liked it. The brook trout is really popular. People really like timber rattlesnake. I've had a few people be like repulsed by this, like, I can't look at it. A snake, I hate snakes. Yeah.
Well, you
I guess that means I did a good job. It looks pretty realistic.
Is the mosquito in there?
No, like mosquito's not in there. Oh, you're the mosquito eater. The tricolor, bat.
Ooh, that's a nice looking one.
Yeah.
Perfect for Halloween coming up here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, the moth is basically an animal in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yes, mosquito just, mosquito gets me every time. Mosquitoes love me. The moths are all over my lights, so I got both of them everywhere. The double M's.
You got the good blood, huh?
I don't know. Yeah. I wish I didn't, because people are like, why don't you, you should go camping, because camping's big around here.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Don't care. Unless I wear 100% DEET.
Yeah.
That's about the only way those things stay away from me. And I'm I don't want to be covered in spray just to go enjoy myself.
Yeah.
Because same thing with the river. I come in from the river. If I come in too late at night, mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't wrap my boat tonight because I'll just get eaten alive. Mm-hmm. And I don't have, and it takes me about 20 minutes to wrap my boat. I said, I'll just come the next day and do it. I'll be dead and just get up. And whatever that blood type is, that's the one I got.
Yeah.
They love me.
Yeah.
So then what's the other thing you got sitting over
there? Yeah, so the other thing I have, so I started, my goal is to try to do a few different prints a year. So, you know, having young kids and
really
stuff.
Cool.
So this is the block. So this is two-sided. So this side I have a new-ish print of Winona. So
that's,
I got it of Sugarloaf.
Absolutely Sugarloaf.
Yeah, I got
that's
a little
so
kind of
cool.
moon or sun in the background. I called it Wapishaw's Cap, which is what Sugarloaf used to be called.
So now I'm looking at this, and you, when you're carving, you have to carve everything opposite.
You do. Yeah, so with my students, I do a lot of printmaking because I really enjoy it. And they'll be like, can I do my name or something like that? And I'm like, unless your name is Mom or Wow, you should not do it because it needs to be backwards.
Oh,
so here's, on here you can see the reflection of it. So, yeah, so and I have them give a little shout out. My prints are at Ridgelands Coffee House, so former Mugby Junction.
Which one is that then?
It's right off Huff Street.
On Huff Street.
Yep,
the
right
bright
by campus.
Blue building now.
Yes, with the nice mural on the side with the flowers. Yep. So, yeah, they're at Ridgelands Coffee House. That's kind of my local, my closest to my house coffee shop.
So
great,
you can go-
place, really, really good coffee, and just it's awesome. So if you haven't been there, I highly check it out. Not
I
even because of my prints, but just because their stuff is good.
Yeah. So you can actually buy some of your stuff.
You can. I just have like a self-service, you know, a little just Venmo thing. You just Venmo me and just take it. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, and I noticed Ed's No Name Bar has similar, where they have artwork hanging up. And I also noticed that, why am I blanking on the name? Starts with an A. It's right down, right, literally by Two Fathoms. Why am I blanking on the name of the restaurant?
It's a
right up the street, like literally half a block.
Acoustic.
Yes,
cafe.
You can buy stuff there too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They kind of have rotating shows. I used to work at Acoustic.
Oh, did
back
you?
In the day, back in college. Yep. Okay. I was a baker.
A bank?
Yep. I made the bread and sliced the meat. I did it all.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. So, okay, now I'll go back to the book.
Yeah,
because
yep.
It's not out yet.
No.
And you're working on getting it out.
Yes. I'm just kind of, at one point I was, you know, I should have taken advantage of this. The U of M Press contacted me and they're like, we'd love to publish your book, which is super exciting. But they really wanted a story with it.
Okay.
Like, we need to have this narrative with it. And when I made it, the main goal, and I didn't even get to this, the main goal, I made these prints because at the time I had a really young, and I mean still do, but like a one-year-old
yep.
at the time when I made it. And babies specifically love just really stark black and white images. They're okay. really powerful. They can see them. I mean, they can't see. I don't think they can see all color ranges as a baby.
It's possible.
Don't quote me on that. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Isn't a science podcast. Yeah, this
I don't remember.
Yeah. So when I made it with the intention of having a book for my kids
okay.
to see. So I also was looking into different types of paper because there's something called synthetic paper,
uh-huh.
Which is like a plastic paper. So there's a book series called Indestructibles, and they're made for babies, and they're made so they can like go ham crazy on them and like try
and
to tear them
and eat them,
chew on them. Yeah. So when I made this, I'm like, oh, dude, what kind of material? And I finally decided I'm just going to do a traditional, like
sure.
I got this printed through Shutterfly. And that's probably the way I'm going to go at this point now. Like my 2-year-old, I can look at this book with him and he's not going to tear it to shreds.
Sure.
So I'm feeling good about the progression of it, and I'm going to be starting to make some copies of this, and I'll probably have that at Ridgelands Coffee House as well.
So that is now called Ridgelands.
Ridgelands.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, question, because yeah. some of the people that are out there don't yep. know what driftless means, because we're in the driftless region. What does that mean?
Yeah, so it's a specific area that was untouched. Okay, I'm going to try to get this right. You can help fix me on any of this
stuff.
I
actually don't know that much about
okay.
it. I just know
okay.
we're in the driftless region.
Okay. So from what I understand, huge icebergs essentially flattened out large areas of the country. And our area was untouched by some of those glaciers.
Okay.
And instead we had like kind of water that pushed through, and the bluffs were untouched essentially. It used to be all that high, and the sediment and the water coming through essentially carved our valley area.
Perfect.
So that type of geology created a really unique environment that kind of starts a little further up than us and ends around Iowa. So all the animals that I do have in here are really specific to just our area. There's only one in here that is called the Iowa Pleistocene snail. That's the only one that is only
ooh, that frog
in this
looks
area.
Nice.
Yeah, pickerel frog.
Pickerel frog.
Yeah,
is, I like that one.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
saw you flipping through it.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
That one stands out like a
yeah.
sore thumb.
But yeah, so it was fun to research it. It was fun to kind of try to figure out which ones I wanted. So yeah, Iowa Pleistocene snail.
Okay.
So this snail is actually probably about the size of like your pinky nail. It's super small, and it
really?
Only lives in the bluffs, like really deep in, because they only want this like 45 degree temperature.
Okay.
So you'll never really see them. But I thought it was kind of cool and just kind of had a cool. I really like that spiral shell.
Yeah.
I really wanted to do that.
Stands
out. Yeah, with the carving.
So that whole book derived off of your kid getting a book from what was it, Winona Hill?
Yeah, just some free little, it was like animals.
Sure.
And they loved it.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
now they want, it would say the U of M wants a story with it.
They, yeah, at one point when it came out, I think there was some, I had some press on the show, which
okay.
was really great.
Yep.
I think they had seen some stuff about that, and they kind of reached out. And I just kind of, I don't know, kind of fizzled out on my own end. It just didn't really work out. And when I made the carvings, I just didn't have a story in mind. I do like picture books for babies that are just
sure.
just pictures. So it just felt, it didn't feel genuine to try to make some story about them that just wasn't there in the
sure.
first place. So,
well, if there's any illustrators out there looking to write a story,
yeah,
we
yeah.
got a book.
Yeah, yeah,
we got a book of photos for sure.
Yep,
we get that baby published and
yeah.
make some moolah off that. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it seems like you like art for the love of it, which that's a fantastic doing
yeah.
it for your kids
yep.
and just doing it because you love it, and then you teach it as well.
Yeah.
So now let's get on to the pinball.
Sure.
Because now I didn't know you had a degree in art until just now.
Yeah.
And I know you as a brother of one of my former students and the guy that has pinball machines as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is cool because I grew up with pinball machines.
Yeah.
I grew up, my dad had them. Well, one, I think sometimes he just found them as junk and then kind of fixed them up himself or had
mm-hmm.
someone help him fix them up.
Yep.
I had one when I was younger. It was called Jive Time. I don't know if you ever heard of that one.
No, but sounds like an old one.
Oh yeah. It was pretty boring, but it was cool when I was little because I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. Ding ding ding, things are lighting up. I'm like,
oh,
cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Then we had one that you probably have heard of because I've seen them out there for sale. Haunted House.
Haunted House. That's a classic.
Yes. Yeah. And we had that one. My dad found it at a rental property that someone left behind.
Mm-hmm.
He fixed it up and I used to play that, and it has three levels to it. It has a mini upper level, the main level that you normally would have, and then it actually had a basement.
Yes. I think that game has six flippers.
I think there's
two on the upper play field, two on the regular, and then two on the lower play field.
I actually think there's three on the main.
Are there really? Yeah,
I just looked
at
one the other day.
Seven?
Yeah, there's a lot of flippers on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I grew up playing pinballs.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that you were getting into pinballs, I'm like, I would love to have you on here just to talk specifically about that.
Yeah.
But you're more than just that, as we found out. So did you grow up with pinball machines? Or did you just love them because you were at an arcade and you're like, this is just fun?
Yeah, that's a good question. My love of pinball has come much later in life, kind of influenced by one of my friends, Ben. And it kind of started, so this was just during COVID.
Okay.
So 2020, summer of 2020. I think I just was looking for, you know, we were all cooped up, kind of looking for something to do.
Yep.
I just, you know, had my first kid, wanted to stay home a lot. So I'm like, what can I have this huge garage. It's super long. It can fit like two and a half cars long.
Okay.
So I kind of had some room in the back. And Dar Auction, are you familiar with Dar Auction?
I know Rod. Do you do any shopping? I know Rod because he's a realtor.
Okay.
As am I, and he lives in Rushford. And okay. I think his wife actually worked with my mom at Merchants, if I remember.
Nice.
So, yes, I do know Rod, and I know Dar Auctions.
Okay. So Dar Auctions has this pinball machine that pops up. The game was called Torch from 1980, also a Gottlieb. So Gottlieb was the same brand as Haunted House.
Okay.
And it was just up for sale on this auction. And my friend Ben, who you probably have seen around Two Fathoms, he's got the beard, kind of some swoopy hair. Sound familiar? He plays a lot too.
Does he wear a stocking cap?
Yeah, he wears caps.
Pretty sure I see him because I think he's playing all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, pretty much any game in town, he's going to be maybe embarrassed by this, but if you see any game in town and it says Ben, that's him. I mean, he runs his town for high scores.
All right.
He's a good player. He's a very good player.
The guy has a pocket full of quarters out there.
He does. He does in cat-like reflexes.
Nice.
So this machine came up on Dar Auction, and I'm like, hey, Ben, you should, like, I don't want to buy this because, and really at the time I was like, pinball's, you know, whatever. It's kind of stupid. It's kind of weird, but you should buy it. And, like, you know, I got some room in my garage. I knew he didn't have a lot of space to put it. I said, just put it in my garage if you get it, and we'll just mess around with it and just see what we can do. I mean, like I said, it was COVID, just kind of looking for something to, like, occupy your mind a little bit. I watched the auction happen. He was in this bidding war with someone. You know how those go online.
I know, like, eBay,
boom,
I've been
boom,
there.
Boom. It's going up. And he did win. He won the game. And it's just so funny because now, knowing what I know, we just look back. We like rented a U-Haul, went and picked it up. I think we moved it with the legs on, which now, I mean, that's insane.
You always take the legs off.
You always take the legs off.
Yeah.
So, for example, I have a Honda Fit, a 2013
Honda
Fit.
So it didn't fit in the electric bike?
Did not fit in the e-bike.
Okay.
No.
The e-bike had no.
However, my 2013 Honda Fit will haul a pinball machine.
Really?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Seats must really fold down.
They fold down flat.
And then obviously you take the back end off of it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So like the head will usually fold down.
Okay.
So starting in like 1985, they started putting hinges on the head so it would fold down.
Sure.
But like Haunted House and some of those other games, you would just take the head. It'd have to come off. You could still kind of set it down and strap it. And
okay.
There's all sorts of ways to do it. But yeah, so at the time we rent a U-Haul, bring it down. And then it sat in my garage for about a year, and it would be touched. Okay, it didn't work. We had to drill out the locks, had to just figure out all this stuff kind of on the fly. But it sat around for a long time, and finally my wife, which I totally understand, was like, that needs to work or it needs to be gone. That is what needs to happen. I'm like, I agree. Ben, ultimatum. Like, it's got, it's so that kind of, you know, lit the fire, and we finally found. So nowadays, I mean, pinball is so popular now that, for example, all the circuit boards that were in this game are very decrepit, super old technology, and people are remaking circuit boards, and you can buy brand new circuit boards. So there's this guy in France who made a board that has like four, probably three or four different circuit boards combined into one. And it was super expensive, but when you buy that, it's just, you have everything. So like Haunted House, for example, would use a similar, you could buy an all-in-one board now to put it in. So there's a lot of different options as far as how you can kind of fix the circuit boards yourself, or you can mail out the parts. So for example, like World Cup Soccer, yep, which is at Two Fathoms.
It
is. That's a game that I kind of help maintain and operate. When I first bought that game, there were some issues with the circuit board, and I dabble in some circuit board work, but it gets into a really delicate and very, very specialized like skill set that is well beyond me. If I started trying to fix it, I would ruin it. And a lot of these boards now, they don't remake them. So they're worth, you know, $500 or so to get the board. So what you can do is you can take the circuit boards and you can actually mail them out to specialists.
Okay.
And they'll hook it up to their bench set, and they'll run all the tests. They'll fix it. And, you know, it's, you know, can be a few $100 to get it fixed. But
sure,
they call it bulletproofing. So they'll put in new components and they'll make sure that it's working really well.
Is there anyone in town that fixes these at all? I saw there's Williams, right? I
think yeah.
But well, you go drive by the place, and I'm like, it looks just kind of abandoned.
Yeah. Well, and so Williamson's is one of the operators in town. And this is not just something they do, but this is kind of a general, we call them an operator. And we say they're kind of like an old school operator. So they're really into darts and pool tables.
Okay.
And like touch tunes, things that don't break. If you think about it like that, okay.
How do you make any money then?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you do make money because those things don't break.
You're right.
But
yeah,
when you operate pinball machines, they do break. And a lot of so they actually do own some of the machines at No Name.
Okay.
And some of the machines
Williamson does.
Williamson's, okay, at Broken World. And I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, talk poorly or anything, but those games are trashed. They're in horrible shape. And they were kind of the inspiration for my friend Ben and I to try to get some machines at Two Fathoms.
Yeah.
Because we love to play. And I didn't really finish the story here, but we finally got Torch working. And that was just such a fun process. It felt so good to bring something like that back.
Yep.
So I started playing pinball more. And really, I like the tech side of it almost more than I like to play pinball. I love to play pinball, but I suck at it. I mean, I'm terrible. and I'll talk a little bit. We have some tournaments at Two Fathoms that we host.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'll get into that once we go a little further down this rabbit hole. But yeah, so it's just a fun something about it. I love the aspect of art. So pinball machines are such a cool time capsule.
Yes.
Of hand-drawn art. Just cool styles, what was popular at the time, what was historical. There's such a funny overlap of like, so we call them like IPs and intellectual property. So for example, there's like a Lethal Weapon 3 pinball machine. So they used to try to coordinate in the 90s, like, oh, this blockbuster movie's coming out, Twister. So we're gonna make a Twister pinball machine and it's gonna have a tornado spinning around and all this stuff. And there's just something so goofy and weird about that that I just really enjoy. So I used to be a big video game person.
Okay.
And I think that's how pinball kind of made that jump for me, because it is video games, but there's also this physical element to it where like you can only play these things, you know, at certain places. Now they're more popular in people's homes, mm-hmm, when they sell new games, and they are still making new games. People tell me this all the time. I didn't know they still make pinball machines.
Oh, yes,
wow,
they
wow
do.
I mean, they just came out with John Wick pinball machine.
I saw that.
An X-Men pinball machine, yeah. Jaws, Avatar for some weird reason. That's a weird theme. I mean, I don't know. Avatar, like, it's cool, but, like, it's not that
yes
cool. Yeah, so there's a lot of cool companies out there now, and there's a lot of cool ideas and just new designers, and it's just kind of this swirling of weird things in this box that I'm drawn to.
Well, I go off of, yeah, the artwork on the head is nice, but mm-hmm. also the artwork of designing the gameplay is also a work of art, a physical work of art.
Absolutely.
Because everyone's got to be different. If you, back in the day, if you'd play a 50s, 60s, 70s pinball machine, mm-hmm. kind of boring compared to what we're used to, because all it was some bumpers and made some noises and that's yep. about it. But nowadays, like you said, they might make one with a twister in it, but you got ramps. You,
yep.
you hit certain things and something might do something and it goes into this whole different game mode and mm-hmm. multi-ball comes out and you're right. It's a piece of art.
Yeah.
And I love them too. And I assume you've been to the arcade, Axon Arcade place.
Yeah,
in town.
Yeah.
Yep. So have I. My dad yep. and I have gone there a couple times, and we played some of the newer pinballs, and boy, those are a world of difference.
They are.
Even just from the 80s ones.
Yep.
And you're only talking, three, four decades different, but still,
yep.
I always think of what I like is, I think it's 90s and above. Those are my favorite pinballs.
Yeah, yep.
90s
yep.
and above, yep. you know, there's some that stick out in my mind. Adam's Family.
Mm-hmm. That's a that class. That's the greatest selling machine of all time.
Really?
Yep. It sold okay. like 20,000 units.
Terminator yep. 2.
Yeah.
Handgun.
Yep, yep.
To shoot the ball with. That was cool. What are some other ones? I mean, Haunted House sticks out because we had that one, mm-hmm. but that one's not the most popular. And nowadays, I see you got like Foo Fighters, which mm-hmm. Foo Fighters, that was a band, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And actually, I want to give a shout out. There's some guys that go by Bazooka Arcade, and they're out of the Trempealeau area. So they have they operate the arcade at Westgate Bowling, and they're okay. doing an awesome job. They have some great arcade machines, and they have two pinball machines that they keep in great shape. And one of them is Foo Fighters.
Yes, yep. I think I played both of them.
Yeah, the other one is Stargate, which is made by Gottlieb, and that is a weird game. Again, a movie tie-in.
Right. So, yeah, yes.
And Gottlieb. I'm not going to go into the history of them, but they're a weird company. That they used to be like, the Cadillac of pinball machines. And then as time went on, they got bought by different companies and things just got weird. And they finally fizzled out. So the last game they ever made was Barb Wire, starring Pamela Anderson.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
It was their last game. And then they were bankrupt.
Yes.
They were going to make a Brooks and Dunn. The country.
Cool.
Yeah, that was what they were. That was in the cooker, and then they closed up shop. Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorites.
What could have been?
One of my favorites was South Park.
Yeah.
Love yeah. that
yep.
one.
Yep, so it was made by Sega. Yeah, that used
Hankey.
To be a Rocco's.
Yes, Mr.
Yeah, you'd like shoot Christmas it into a toilet.
Yes.
You
yes.
hit Kenny. Yeah, it was just, and yeah, yep.
I love that one. That yep. was one of my favorites. It was hilarious. It was saying funny things.
Oh, yeah.
Cartman saying things. Yep. I'm like, oh, my gosh. My dad was laughing at it. So I'm like, man, that is just hilarious. So I think, and then I know that there's a lot of, seems like there's a lot of James Bond ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I know there's multiple Playboy ones out there.
There are a lot. There's too many Playboy ones, but there are a lot of Playboy. There's like
yeah.
three versions of them.
I think there's one for like each decade almost.
Yeah.
And then I know there's a lot of wrestling ones out there.
Yes,
like at least
there
four, three or four of those.
Yes, there are.
And
which
I
know you've had your eye on. Like you kind of, yeah.
And you've sent me them too,
sent
and
you
I have
some
not yet
Facebook
pulled the trigger.
Because
every time I'm like, tell my dad, I'm like, hey, I think we should have a pinball machine for this area.
Yeah.
He's like, where are we going to put it? We have cars literally down the middle. Where is it going to sit? I'm like, we'll find a spot. We'll find a corner. It's just
yeah.
somewhere. And then he's like, well, what if we get bored of it real fast? I'm like, I don't know. Then maybe you sell it and buy another one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That's what you do?
Yeah.
It seems like you,
oh, absolutely.
You like find one, and then maybe you get rid of it, and then you get a different one, and mm-hmm. then you're putting them in two fathoms, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
so you own those ones, right?
Yes.
And
yep.
then people can just go there and have fun.
Yep.
They're having tournaments.
Yep.
And it's fun to see a new pinball machine. So I get what he's saying. It's like, well, if you have one and you start mastering it, like, okay, now what?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to have multiple. So I can see his idea.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun, though, because we have you didn't even go to the back of the garage yet, but we have NFL Blitz in one side.
Oh, yeah.
And we have NBA Fast Break on the other side, which
yeah.
is just basically NBA Jam.
Yep.
But kids come here, and, boy, they just love to play
oh,
that
yeah.
game. And I still love to play that game.
Yeah. What you need is, there's a pinball machine just called Mustang.
I saw that one and yeah. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I said
that'd
the car
be perfect.
Theme would be sick.
Yep. But yeah, so the first, so I'll give you the little itinerary or kind of play by play.
Play by play.
So at Two Fathoms, the first game we put on location, and it's not just me. Kind of what it is almost a co-op a little bit. I have a few friends and family cool. who kind of help make it happen, and then a lot of that money that goes in goes back to keep the machines in good shape.
Sure.
Because as I said, this is not something you do to get rich. It's something you do because you love it, and it's just fun.
Yep.
And the last element I was going to talk about with pinball that's just different than video games is there's kind of, as cheesy as it sounds, there's some community. There's people around. There's friends. You're playing with people. They're kind of looking over your shoulder. Oh, I can't hit that shot. It's flashing. Hit the shot. They're just kind of fun
yeah.
things that you can't necessarily get in sitting at home like playing COD online or something sure. like that. So that's what I really like. So the first game that we had at Two Fathoms was High Speed. Stuck
I remember
that
one.
In the corner.
Yep.
So that was kind of cool because that was one of the first games. So you talked about the design and stuff. That was a designer. His name is Steve Ritchie. He's still making designs today. He just made an Elton John pinball machine.
What?
Yeah.
That would be kind of a
glitter.
Cool one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's like playing the music. It is cool. Yeah, it's a good game. But you find these tables that are designed in certain ways, and you kind of like them. And there are, yeah, pinball designers have, like, their style and their design choices. And Steve Ritchie made that high-speed game. And that was one of the first games to ever have almost like a storyline. So he based that. So prior to that, it was like, if it's flashing, hit it. And that's still kind of the rule. And anyone who doesn't play pinball, I mean, the goal, anything that's flashing, you want to just try to hit the thing that's flashing is kind of like the golden rule.
Okay.
But I will give, I brought a visual aid here. This is how nerdy I am. I brought two flippers.
Okay. Oh.
And what I'm going to do, I'm going to give some advice. So anyone, and I used to think pinball was kind of lame, very, very weird, mostly because people feel like it's randomized. Like it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, it's just like.
Just hit the
mash
ball.
Hit the ball. And obviously the goal is to keep the ball in play. But one of the biggest things you can do if you're ever playing pinball, so I got the two flippers
yep.
here. These are two brand new ones.
If you're listening, you need to tune over to the YouTube.
Yeah, switch
because,
over.
He's about to show you the flippers.
Well, I'll be able to describe it. So normally the flippers are sitting in the down position like this.
Yep.
Okay? They're at rest, you could say. One of the biggest things you can do is to hold the flipper button when the ball is down and hit it up like that. And let the ball sit right in that spot. So that's called a cradle.
Okay.
I know this sounds so nerdy, but there's like actual terms for these things.
No, this is
There's like
great.
A professional, you know, people who do this. I'm not even close to that. But so if you do a cradle of the ball and you trap it in that cradle, what you do is you regain control of your play. And then what you can do is you can let the flipper down and then you can aim. And you do this by practicing, just like with art, with anything. You just got to keep doing more of it. And the more you do, the better you get. And you just trap the ball, regain control, and then try to take your shot. And the more you do that, you're going to find, like, you can actually start to see, like, if you like video games, there is a story to these things. Jurassic Park right now, Two Fathoms, I mean, that's the newest game that we have.
I haven't played that one yet.
And that one has, I mean... If you have a good game on that, you could play that for like 45 minutes because you're progressing. You're like capturing dinosaurs. You're rescuing staff workers. You're getting to the visitor center, which like the movie, the goal, you know, they get to the visitor center to get helipadded out of there. And that's the plot. So, yeah, it's kind of High Speed to bring it all back. It was one of the first games that actually had like a goal. And your goal was to escape from the police. Run. Yeah, so you essentially would get it. It came from a true story of the designer. He got pulled over going like 120 miles an hour, and he, you know, pulled over, but then he went to his job and he's like, what if you could have a game where you could outrun the police? And that was the goal. So that was one of the first games to actually have like a plot, and ever since then there's usually been some type of objective, and it's called a wizard mode, which sounds kind of weird, but that's like the boss. Think of the boss in Mario.
Oh,
playing
sure.
Bowser.
Yeah.
That's the wizard mode, and that you can beat a pinball machine. I've never done it because, like I said, I'm not good.
You're more into the tech side
of it. Yeah, more into the tech side. I like to see how everything works. And yep. like I said, I mean, we take a lot of pride in trying to make the games as functional and play as properly as possible.
So you're big into the visuals and not so much into playing, but do you have a favorite pinball that you've played before?
That's a good question. There's a lot of good games out there.
Yeah.
I really do like World Cup Soccer, okay, which we have at Two Fathoms. That game is fun. It came out in 1994, and it came out when the U.S. hosted the World Cup for the first time. And that one's kind of fun because it's got a moving goalie in it. Have you played that one
yet? I have
yet?
Not played okay. that. I've only seen it because I don't have any quarters when I go in.
Well, there's a change machine there. Yeah, we got a change machine.
I saw that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
I need
only
the credit
takes ones
card
and
thing.
Five.
I need the credit card thing. And then
yeah,
you're gonna
I'm not getting that. There's no
then
way.
Then you're going to get me playing for a while yeah. because I can just swipe.
Oh, there you go. But that one's got a moving goalie in it. And the whole goal of that game is to progress and eventually play Germany and beat Germany in the World Cup,
okay.
which in 94 is... They won the World Cup.
Germany did or U.S.?
Germany did.
Germany, okay.
Yeah, you are the U.S.
Okay.
So your That's goal cool. is to do that. Yeah, so it's kind of a fun. So World Cup is super fun. I really like this weird carnival game called Cyclone. It's just got kind of a fun, swoopy ramp. But the new games now are so awesome, and they just have so much depth to them. And, yeah, so I like, I mean, at Two Fathoms, we have a good, got like a mid-80s game. A 90s game, and then we have a new game. So we try to just kind of keep things kind of fresh. So right now, Roller Games is there right now. That's based on this weird TV show that got canceled. It was like wrestling and roller derby combined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember
yeah,
that kind of weird.
So that game is on a temporary trade with someone in Rochester. So in about a month or so, we're going to swap back. To oh. Space Station. So Space Station was the game
one.
Before.
That one was tough for me.
That's a tough game.
Because
it is tough.
I noticed there was no, I think if one of the sides, it just
yes.
went down. You just,
yes.
it was gone.
Yep. So they're called in lanes.
It pissed
and then
me
there's
off.
Outlanes.
It pissed me off. I'm like, wait,
don't break
over it. Here, I got nothing.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a brutal game. Yeah. It's some people like that.
The visuals
aspect
are beautiful
of it.
On that.
Oh,
though.
It's super, and the music is cool. It's got this like kind of xylophone mm-hmm. Phil Collins
and
vibe.
It was bright.
Very bright. It's got one. LEDs, yeah.
High but so, speed wasn't as bright, but it might be because maybe it didn't have LEDs in it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You can most of the time they come, you know, it depends who you buy a game from, but
yeah.
people will upgrade it to LEDs, and that just makes it run a lot cooler and everything. But yeah, so Space Station will come back. And it's funny, once you get into this, I'm sure you in these niche hobbies, you start to meet people. You start to get some connections and relationships, and someone just reached out and said, hey, my buddy's got this Roller Games. Do you want to trade for your space station? I said, well, can it be temporary? Can it be on location? He said, yeah. So we just did a swap. So in about a yeah. month, we'll switch back. So going on to the tournaments, I'll give a little shout out to that. So at Two Fathoms, we do pinball tournaments once a month. We always do it on the second Tuesday of the month.
Second Tuesday of the month, folks.
Yep, second Tuesday of the month. And we do it's kind of like the trivia prizes. So first place will get a crowler. Second place will get a free beer. Third place will get a short beer. We actually do a $3 entry, too, which sounds kind of weird. But first, second, third will get 100% cash payout.
Okay.
And it's just like... So there's a long history to this, but it's not gambling, okay, because it's a skill-based game. So there's a whole story to this. Pinball has a weird history
mm-hmm.
of kind of dabbling
I saw
between.
The movie.
Did you see that movie?
I watched it on an airplane.
I haven't watched it yet. Roger Sharp, the man
yep.
who saved the game.
I watched it.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was really cool.
Yeah,
because
I never
think of it as gambling. I just think mm-hmm. of it as a game. But that was the whole thing. I think I watched it coming back from my honeymoon last year.
Yeah.
I think that's when I watched it. I know I watched it because I downloaded it, and I'm like, I got to see this because I'm big into big into pinball, but I love pinball.
Yeah, you like it. It's
yeah.
The big guy with the mustache, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Roger Sharp.
But the guy that played one of the main character, he played in a movie called She's Out of My League.
Okay.
And he's a comedian. But I can't remember his dang name for the life of me. But anyways, it was a cool movie because I didn't think of it as gambling at all.
Yeah, yep.
But you're right. It does have this like gray area of it's old as gambling. But
yep.
I don't see it that. But
yep. And some of the older games you talked about, what they would do to kind of circumvent that gambling terminology. So if you've ever played an old game, sometimes they're five. You get five balls instead of three.
Sure.
And you can actually win more extra balls instead of like a free game. So there used to be a weird thing where people would think that, I don't know. I guess I don't know what the fear came from. They'd talk about, oh, kids' lunch money. They're stealing kids' lunch money. It's just like, yeah. I mean, you don't get anything from it. And I think that's the difference. It's just the game that's fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I just love it. I don't think of it as gambling. I think of it as just a game.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just trying to get as many points as you possibly can at the end of the day, plus maybe beat the storyline.
Yes.
There was something I was just going to say. Oh, I know what it was.
Yeah.
I was very close to getting a pinball machine for, I think it was $3,500, and it was the Shaq one.
Oh, gosh. Shaq Attack?
Shaq Attack. Yeah. And there was a guy in Iowa. I think it was in New Hampton. I think it was in New Hampton, Iowa. Okay. So it wasn't that far away.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep, I'll come get it. And then he just ghosted me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he sold it.
Yeah.
But it looked like it was coming from a nice household.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sweet. I mean, Shaq Attack, that's really cool. I'm big into basketball.
Yep.
Mid-90s, what better thing to have Shaquille O'Neal, pinball machine, Orlando Magic.
Yep.
And then he ghosted me, and I'm like, am I coming to pick it up or what's going on here? I was all ready to go, and nothing.
Dang it.
And so I still go on Pinside every so often, look at the classifieds. I was just on there like last night or two nights ago. I was looking for the classifieds just to see what's out there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I want one that goes with the theme of something I like. Like you said, Mustang. That would fit perfectly in here.
Yep.
But there's also, I think, a Corvette one.
Yep.
There's if I remember
Corvette
right.
One.
Yep. I love South Park. But you've also told me that certain pinball companies were a little bit more reliable than some of the other ones, I believe.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
ones were more, what ones are more the top end, would you consider?
Yeah. So what decade do you want to talk about?
You tell me the decades and the more.
You said you like the 90s. So let's talk about the
90s. I do like the 90s a little bit more. And then I also like the ones that are brand new, too. But I like the 90s.
Okay.
Late 90s, mid-90s.
So by the early 90s, there were three big ones. There was Williams, there was Bally, and there's Gottlieb.
Yep.
And Stern, who's now the big one, they had a former version of themselves that was gone. Then there was another one called Data East. They were the ones who got wise and started doing movie license. So they would do like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Simpsons. They have a Back to the Future game, which is regarded as like one of the worst pinball machines of all time.
Really?
And everyone is so mad because they're saying, this is the best theme in the world and you've ruined it. And since then, there's never been another Back to the Future. It's the only one. And there's a lot of talk that there's one coming, but it's not here yet. So what had happened, Bally got bought out by Williams.
Okay.
So they turned into Bally Williams. So probably, to answer your question, Bally Williams is one of the better brands to get. So like World Cup Soccer, at Two Fathoms is a Bally game, but it technically is still Williams. So you may have dodged a bullet on your Shaq Attack because Shaq Attack was made by Gottlieb. And Gottlieb was the one that kind of fizzled out. And they just made stuff kind of weird. So and I don't want to get too technical, but all these companies were competing with each other as far as like inventions and mechanisms.
Okay.
So what they would do is they'd make a mechanism, then they copyright it. So another place like the flipper, I mean, not specifically the flipper, but like how the flipper works. So then another company would say, well, we have to figure out how to do this, but we can't infringe on this copyright. So we have to make it in a totally different way. And sometimes that turned out to be a lot worse.
Okay.
So a Gottlieb game in the 90s is not necessarily the way to go.
Okay.
It can be good, you know. If you fix it up and get it pretty reliable, it can be done. But you can buy brand new parts now. Like I said, I was showing off these flipper. These are called flipper bats. They're just the flipper.
Yep.
But on certain games like Gottlieb, you have to order through. When they went bankrupt, some person bought out their inventory. So you can only get a lot of their stuff through this like one supplier where
oh,
you
no.
have to like mail them a check.
Oh, jeez. Great. I mail you a check, and hopefully I get something back.
I'm not getting... Well, actually, they send you the product first.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. There you go. All right. Usually, I think it's the opposite way. You send them a check and hope something comes in the mail.
It's really weird. It's called Pinball Resource.
So if I'm buying something in the 90s, I'm looking for Bally Williams?
Yeah, Bally Williams. So like Monster Bash, Scared Stiff. That's at... both of those games are at Broken World, which is why it's so
painful.
Yeah, Monster Bash is amazing. Yeah, such a great game. And that's why it was painful for my friend and I, because the whole point of this is we just like playing pinball, and we want to play Pinball Winona, and we just didn't have a great place to do that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how our stuff came to be. So,
and then if I wanted to buy one nowadays, is there only one company, or there's still a couple of companies out there?
Yeah, that's a good question. So nowadays there's one Titan. They go by Stern Pinball.
Stern makes everything,
basically.
Stern
makes like all the kind of stuff you see. A lot of comic book stuff. They'll do Avengers, Jaws, James Bond, Godzilla. Godzilla's an awesome game. And then there's a few kind of smaller ones that they're all... What's cool is pinball's always been manufactured in Chicago. I don't know why.
Okay.
But Chicago's like the hub. And it's cool because we live kind of close to there. So in my beginning of my pinball nerd journey, I went to Expo, Pinball Expo.
So every year
they have, this year's the 40th. So they're, going all out.
Well, did you just go there and play pinball all day?
Yes. It's awesome.
I think I would be just overwhelmed with what am I going to do? Yeah. Which one am I playing?
And actually, it's a great place to buy games.
What is that?
That is over MEA. I'm not going this year,
but I've gone in the past, unfortunately. Okay. Damn it.
So the other good shout out that I'll say is, so last spring I went to an event called Midwest Gaming Classic.
Okay.
And that is in Milwaukee. And that is cool because it's pinball, but it's also arcades. It's actually also wrestling. There's a ton of wrestling that goes on.
Okay.
And it's just like this. It's at the Wisconsin Center, right downtown Milwaukee. And, it's cool if you bring a game. So, like, we brought a game to this. And actually, that's where we picked up Jurassic Park. We did a little trade thing. You can get, like, a free ticket, but it's a great place to buy a machine. Nice. It's just the nerdiest, people walking around with cosplay dressed up like Snake from Metal Gear Solid and just like stuff you would never, the best people watching.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, Midwest Gaming Classic, check it out.
I still want a pinball no matter what.
Yeah.
I look on Facebook Marketplace because I really don't want to go like travel a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you tell me these are the ones you should look for. Brand wise, I'm gonna look more into that now because I'm always like, oh, that one, that theme looks really cool, and I'm always, but I don't know much about the different brands, so I want to make sure that if I get one, it's reliable,
and
if I get a newer one, Stern is the only one that makes it,
yes,
and I assume they're probably pretty reliable by nowadays. I mean, it's 2024, so I hope they are for sure. And I know that the arcade place in town here, Axe and Arcade, they sell them brand new. If you really want them brand new, you can. Or you can buy some used ones that they have as well from their Eau Claire showroom. And I met the guy. He said he'd just deliver it if I wanted to. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And, I'll hook you up.
And
you
if you need some tech stuff,
I'll help you out.
And I still want one. And I know you've sent me multiple ones, and I still haven't pulled the trigger on one, but I do want to. So don't stop sending them to me, please.
Yes, sounds good.
I was just in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I went to a place called the Starlight Lounge. And it was like this old 60s lounge theme. It was really cool. But next door was an arcade bar.
Okay.
And I saw arcade games and I saw pinballs over there. And it was an arcade bar.
Go.
So I'm like, guys, we should go. We should check that out.
Yeah. Well, what was the context of this trip? Is this like bachelor party? Is this like family vacation? Because
The theme of it was I was going to watch my old college University of Northern Iowa play against the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Okay.
And they got destroyed because they're a Division I AA team. Nebraska's a Division I single A team. And they get destroyed. But my buddy Brett, who's been on the podcast 3 times now, he's like, hey, your old college is playing and we have season tickets because his parents went to school there. He graduated from, he did his graduate school. He did it in University of Nebraska, but it was in the Omaha division. But they're all, I mean, their basement was literally all Cornhusker stuff at their house when he was younger. So he said, hey, you want to go because your college is playing? And this is back like last March he asked me. I go, yep, let's go. Sounds like a fun time. He's like, you have to experience just even seeing a Nebraska game because there's 90,000 people there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that sounds really fun. And his brother went to college there too. And we did a bunch of tailgating. But that was the gist of how we got to the part that I saw an arcade bar. And there was pinball machines down there. I'm like,
nice.
I was like, man, I want to go, kind of want to go there because it was in a basement area too. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like not a speakeasy, but it was just, you're on the street level, you go down, and one side was the Starlight Lounge, which was like a 60s cocktail bar, and then you go to the other side, and it was the arcade bar. And I was like,
Yeah, those are becoming pretty popular, and, I mean, breweries and pinball is just a perfect match, and I'm so glad that we have that as a place to have the games we have. Have you been to Lit before in Minneapolis? That's like So it used to be called Tilt, and then someone tried to sue them, and they're like, enough of that. We're going to just change our name. So that's in Uptown, and that is a pinball bar only.
I
so
think
that's
I've seen
all
it,
they do.
I think I've seen it on a Facebook page I'm part of. It's like Minnesota Pinball. Yes. I'm part of that.
Yes. And yeah,
there's another one that's on there, and I see some things. I think I'm almost certain it's your buddy. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. But there's also a guy that hosts Bingo at Two Fathoms.
Oh yeah, yep, yeah. And Sam, he's one of the players.
Yes,
yep.
And I've seen him on that page too.
Yep,
he's
a good pinball
times.
Player. Yep, yep.
So yeah, the last thing I want to talk to you about is that I think from what I read that you also have taught kids how to fix pinball machines.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I was going to bring that up as well.
That is a really cool thing. I mean, it comes probably from your love of doing it as yourself. Because as you mentioned, you're not big into playing pinball. Like, you like playing it, but you're not great at it. But you like the technical part of it.
Yep.
So how'd you decide to get into helping or showing kids or helping kids fix pinball machines?
Yeah, great question. So once I started this kind of pinball journey, or disease or whatever you want to call it.
You
Addiction.
Weren't even sure you were getting into it.
Yeah.
You just had
just
a Honda.
Happened, yeah.
You had a Honda Fit and your buddy was
just
buying one from an auction.
Yeah. Once the ball got rolling. So at the Winona Area Learning Center where I teach, so I'm about 70-80% art, but I do another, I have my endorsement in this, is called work-based learning.
Okay.
And work-based learning is very career-based and just talking about financial literacy, boring, important stuff, but just career. And the whole goal is so there's a seminar class called Work Skills, and then there's another class called Work Experience, where students can actually work a job and get credit for it. It's super great. It's a great situation we have there, and it works out well. But I decided that with my seminar class, I could kind of incorporate the idea of working on a pinball machine and fixing them up, because it incorporates a lot of different skills. So it's a lot of problem solving. It's a lot of, even there's some artwork, paint touch up.
Okay.
So students just have different interests, and I can kind of match what their interests are to the machines that we have. So last year, I'll give a little story about this. The idea came to me from the concept of people donating cars, people donating boats to colleges. Right? Have you heard of that before?
I've heard of
Donate
that before.
Your boat or whatever it is.
Yep.
Yep. And it's used as an educational tool for those colleges or technical schools. And the idea came to me where, why can't I do that with a pinball machine? So it's been kind of fun. But it's also just a total, Facebook Marketplace. I mean, it's a free for all. And you see games come up and they're in all sorts of condition. And every now and then, one of them came up on Pinside, and I just sent him a message and said, hey, you got these games in a barn. You don't know what to do with them. Obviously, sell them. If you can get money for them, that's great. But like, if you can't get rid of them, let me know, because I'm trying to start this club at my school. So the club is called the Winona Pinhawks, which is based on Win Hawks. Although the swimming team this last year came up as the Swim Hawks, like the same year. So we both kind of are playing on Herky, and you know, yep. we'll both get along.
That's okay. Herky's a big thing in this town.
Yeah, gotta love Herky. So yeah, I came up with the Pinhawks, and last summer I got a trailer and I went out to Westby, Wisconsin with my dad, and we hauled out these old machines out of a barn.
Nice.
And they were hurting.
Yeah.
One of them, a mouse had definitely lived in one of them for sure. But I brought it back, and my principal is kind enough to give me a little kind of corner in a room where I kind of have my workshop and some stuff set up. Yeah. And yeah, when we have downtime, I mean, students love hands-on work. You know that.
Yes.
And when they can tinker with stuff and mess with stuff, and it's kind of a low-stakes setting. You know, the goal of the club, and this is what we did last year, and we're going to try to do this every year, is to take one pinball machine and throughout the course of the year restore the game to working order, cosmetically fix it up if we need to, and then there's an organization that's connected to the public schools called the WAPS Foundation.
Okay.
If you've heard of that. And they just do different scholarships and different funding for the public schools. And they always have like an auction every year. So last year, I had the idea that it'd be so cool if we could take this machine that we worked on, bring it to the auction, let people play the game, enjoy it, have fun with it. So the game we had last year was called Zigzag from 1961 or 62.
Okay.
And it was part of the silent auction, and the game was an absolute hit. So I was there just to be on site in case, you know, things go wrong with it, in case something breaks or something goes on.
Sure.
But people were having an absolute ball, and just kind of, I mean, the bidding was awesome. And when the dust settled, we actually sold the game for over $2,000.
Nice.
Which went to our club.
Even
and right
better.
Now, yeah. So right now, I mean, we're going to use the money to go on field trips, to buy T-shirts, to just do whatever we got to do. And so right after that, we had got some good press about the club, and Minnesota Public Radio did a little article about it. And have you been to a place called Can Can Wonderland in St. Paul? Have you ever heard of that?
Nope.
So it's an old canning factory. Have you heard of Blackstack Brewing?
Yep.
Okay. It's connected to Blackstack Brewing.
Nice.
It's all one giant warehouse. Can Can Wonderland is like, I describe it like if Willy Wonka made mini golf and an arcade.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
I gotta go.
And they reached out, and it was so kind of them. They reached out and they said, hey, we saw your article, we saw your club. We want you guys to come up and just enjoy meet our technician, just have fun in at our arcade.
Yeah.
So we brought the van up, and I brought about 10 students with, and we just got to hang out at Can Can Wonderland while they were closed. And the kids loved it, and they said come back every year, which has been so great. So we're hoping to do it again.
Yeah.
But the point of all of this is to try to take these problem-solving skills, soldering, electrical work, reading schematics. There's just so many things that are incorporated into this weird game. And then at the end of the day, when you have the reward of fixing it, you get to play it and compete with each other and try to get high scores.
Yeah.
And the students have really attached to it, and it's been really fun. So, I mean, every day, can we work on the machine? And it's like, okay, well, we got to find the time. We got to make sure that it's
sure.
at the right, appropriate time. So we have a new machine this year, 1976 Space Mission.
All right.
Which is pretty cool. So, yeah, so it's a four-player game, so it's a little more tricky, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So.
Is there gonna be another silent auction then for it?
Yes. So the hope is to bring this to the foundation auction in the spring.
Okay.
And I think this time it might be part of the live auction.
All right.
And then what's cool last year, and we'll continue to offer this every year, is whoever wins the machine, it comes with free delivery and a year of free maintenance from the Pinhawk
Ooh,
Club.
Where do we bid on this? How can I bid on this?
Yeah.
Like, where do I go?
Yeah. Well, you got to go to the foundation auction. So every spring they have a kind of a gala. Sure. Is it Gala?
I think it's Gala.
Yeah.
So they have one of those.
I think it'll be at Winona State again. That's where they did it last year.
Okay.
But it was cool because last year the theme was the Beatles, which their heyday was in the 60s.
Yep.
And this machine was from the 60s, and that was really cool because the person who won it was really cool. She had said, I used to play pinball at the Rocco's basement.
Yeah.
And I was so good, they told me I couldn't play again. And I'm like, that is so cool. This is the best.
There are people out there that still love pinball, and you just don't
know
it. Yeah. And I bet the kids, they just are ecstatic, like, oh, someone really wants it, and they paid that for it. That's awesome. And then now that we get rewarded, and we get to go do this and that, and now they're going to want to do it again.
Yeah.
And that's just fantastic. Yep. That's really cool that you're doing that. I saw the article come out last year.
Yeah, thank you.
And I was like, wow, that is really neat that you have come up with that, except for I thought it was just a class. But it's just something they do on the side.
It's kind of a side thing. Yeah,
that's cool.
It's not like an everyday thing. It's kind of when we find the time. And that's another thing I really like about my... So the ALC in town is just a great opportunity. You know, a lot of times students, they're there because they're credit deficient. They just need to catch up. Yeah. And that's like 80% of the students we have. So it provides a lot of flexibility for students. The staff there are awesome. I've been there 7 years. It's a great community. It's just a smaller environment for students who need that. And we get to do weird, fun stuff on the side
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, man, is there anything else you would like to add to the podcast? I mean, we talked about mountain biking. We talked about your art. We talked about pinball. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
We've been going an hour and a half.
I know. Where are we at right now? What's our time? 136. Okay.
Yeah, 136-ish, 135-ish.
I think we've covered a lot of ground.
I told you we'd go this long.
Cheers.
Dude, this has been awesome. Thank you for coming in. I mean, we're doing a late night episode here. It's about, it's 9:15 right now.
Yeah.
So we're doing a late night episode, but, I think this is where we ended then, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sounds good.
I want to thank Matt for coming in and, telling us all about not only his story, but things he's doing within the public here or with students for sure, with the pinball, and then also the mountain biking community.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a community out there for mountain biking. So if you're into that, you need to check it out. Check out your artwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is really neat. I didn't even know about that. And now that I know about it, I saw some of your book. I'm like, that's just fantastic. A lot of it's really kind of nice and black and white, but it's very prominent. It's just bold.
Yeah.
And then obviously the pinball is really cool. I mean, you can check out your three machines over at Two Fathoms.
Yep.
Go play some pinball or every second, Tuesday of the month?
Second Tuesday of the month. So we registration's from 5:30 to 6, and we start playing around 6. We're usually done around 8 o'clock, 8:30.
So
kind of depends. So we do a format. And this is what I guess I should have mentioned this too. The tournament is for casual players. It is for anyone. We've had an 8-year-old play and
That's
an 80-year-old
awesome.
Play. The 8-year-old came in fourth place. I mean, she was amazing.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, I got to be good to play. It's more just we pretty much do it because the winter's here. You talked about the snow. It can be kind of a bleak
a
little.
Time sometimes.
Yeah. So we do it during the cold months just as something to do. It's called a triple strike format. So you play with four people, and if you come in the bottom two, you get a strike. And if you get three strikes, you're out.
Okay.
And we just play until there's a first, second, and third. And
that's really cool.
So yeah, come on down.
I don't know any place that has a pinball tournament.
Yeah,
that
they're big.
Is really cool.
They're big, yeah.
Well, again, I want to thank Matt for coming in. Talking on the Brews and Crews podcast about all he's doing with pinball, everything going around the community. There's a lot in Winona that's going on.
There is. It's a good place.
But, yeah, I want to thank you one more time for coming in. And this has been another Brews and Crews episode. If you want to watch, which I think this is one of those visual episodes, because Matt brought in not only pinball flippers, but also some of his artwork. And if you want to check out his artwork, you need to watch this. Otherwise, you can catch me on any sort of streaming platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, you name it, I'm out there. But again, this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. I want to thank Matt one more time for coming in and give him a big cheers.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
It's been fun.